Accession number 10898, Reel 1.
Commander Turner, Reel 1. Can you tell me, first of all, what Cossack was like as a ship to live on and to work on?
Cossack was the second ship of the Tribals, which came into service between 1938 and the early days of the war. They were designed as a cross between a big destroyer and a small cruiser. Their job was expected to be the eyes of the fleet. In fact, during the war, they were usually the biggest ship present. As a result of early war experience, their armament, which had originally been 8 4.7-inch guns in 4 double mountings, was altered to 3 mountings, and the 4th mounting was made into a pair of high-angle guns so that aircraft, more or less overhead, could be engaged, which they could not be in the original design. We had 4 torpedo tubes, a multiple pom-pom, and some smaller weapons. They had high speed, up to about 35 knots, a considerable endurance, very good communications, and a crew of about 240.
When war broke out, do you remember the actual announcement that Chamberlain made that we were at war with Germany?
Yes. We were in Alexandria Harbour that day with most of the Mediterranean fleet. We were 1 hour ahead of British time, and we were able to hear Chamberlain's broadcast. And I distinctly remember that just after the broadcast, my coxswain came in, and I said to him, "Coxswain, we are now at war." And the coxswain said, "Yes, sir. Do we give leave as usual?" In fact, we did not leave harbour till the following day, when we started a 6 weeks moving about the Mediterranean, mostly hunting rather non-existent U-boats, and at one time convoying quite a fair number of French troops between Marseille and Beirut. By the beginning of October, it was clear that Italy was not going to enter the war at once, and most of the Mediterranean fleet, including Cossack, were dispatched to British waters.
What kind of duties did you take up there?
To start with, we were based roughly on Immingham and helping to convoy on the east coast and also to escort mine layers. Then we were moved north to become roughly a part of the home fleet based on the area between Rosyth and Scapa. We did various convoy duties. And in December, early December of 1939, we had an unfortunate collision with a merchant ship while leaving the Firth of Forth. As a result, we had an enormous hole in our port side forward, had about 6 men killed, but fortunately little damage below water, and we were able to steam astern up to Leith, where we were taken in hand by Robs, mended, and at the same time prepared for service in icy waters, such as strengthening the forward part of the ship. We were ready for sea again in early January 1940. About that time, Vian had succeeded Captain Creswell in command of the flotilla in the Afridi. The Afridi had severe boiler trouble, necessitating 2 or 3 months in dockyard. So Captain Vian took over Cossack as temporary leader and remained in her until about mid-March. Before Vian, we had Commander Sherbrooke, subsequently a VC, for a week or two, and after Vian left, he resumed command of Cossack and was in command at the Second Battle of Narvik. The Altmark episode took place on February the 16th.
Can you tell me what you remember of it in as much detail as you can recollect?
February the 16th, which is the day we boarded the Altmark, was a Friday. On Wednesday of that week, a force led by Captain Vian in the Cossack and consisting of the cruiser Arethusa and about 4 other destroyers left Rosyth to cross the North Sea and operate for 1 or 2 nights in the Kattegat, where it was hoped that we might pick up the odd German merchant vessel trying to get back to Germany and possibly getting outside territorial waters when crossing the Kattegat. To this end, Cossack had embarked about 30 officers and men from ships refitting at Rosyth, who were to be used as prize crews for any merchant vessels we picked up. This was lucky because, of course, this party formed the bulk of the ultimate boarding party of the Altmark. We crossed the North Sea during Wednesday night and Thursday, and on Thursday night, we separated and spread out around the Kattegat. About midnight, Captain Vian received news of the Altmark's presence on the Norwegian coast and was directed to abandon the Kattegat operation and concentrate on finding the Altmark. Early on Friday, we had temporarily to abandon the search as we were too close to German air for safety in daylight. We thought that the Altmark had probably slipped through during the night. However, during Friday morning, we received fresh news that the Altmark was not as far south as had been expected and was still somewhere on the Norwegian west coast, south of Bergen. The Altmark was in fact sighted by the RAF during Friday morning, and her presence near Stavanger was confirmed. Vian immediately respread his force to search up the coast, and it was Arethusa who sighted the Altmark just south of Stavanger. Arethusa and one of the destroyers attempted to stop her, but she kept close inshore and, escorted by 2 Norwegian torpedo boats, sought refuge in Gjøsing Fjord. Vian in the Cossack, who had been somewhat south of this area, came up at high speed and entered Gjøsing Fjord, where he found the Altmark well up this small fjord, and the two Norwegian torpedo boats in the inner entrance to the fjord. The lieutenant commanding the Norwegian torpedo boats came on board and spent some time with Vian. Vian's instructions at that time were to find out about the Altmark, but not to breach the Norwegian neutrality to any extent. The Norwegian lieutenant assured Vian that the Altmark had been examined off Bergen and that she did not have any British merchant ship prisoners on board. Vian and Cossack withdrew from the fjord, and Vian spread the force in a semicircle outside to make sure that the Altmark could not get out unobserved. He reported to the Admiralty what had occurred, and within something under 2 hours, received orders from the Admiralty that he was to investigate the Altmark closely, if possible with the cooperation of the Norwegians, and even to the extent that we might be prepared to escort with the Norwegians the Altmark to a place like Bergen where she could be properly examined. Churchill, you may remember, was First Lord of the Admiralty at the time, and it was clearly very much due to him that we received such concise orders, which entirely relieved Vian of any responsibility for any possible breach of neutrality. Being February, it was now dark by the time we received these orders, and Vian determined that he and Cossack would go into the fjord while the rest of the force held the ring outside. On our way back, by an error of navigation, we tried to get into the wrong fjord, but that was quickly amended. At about this time, we sighted a sudden fire out at sea and thought it might be the Altmark, which had tried to slip out and been stopped by one of the other ships. In fact, it was a German oiler, the Balder, coming down the coast, which just happened to get into the way of the force, and being stopped, promptly scuttled itself. Cossack arrived back off Gjøsingfjord round about 9 o'clock at night. It was a pretty calm night with a part moon. The fjord was in darkness except for the lights of a small fishing vessel near the entrance. I might say that this fjord is only a dent in the coast. Perhaps 1.5 miles from entrance to the top of the fjord, and nowhere more than about a quarter or half a mile broad. There are a number of rocks and small islands in the entrance. It was described in the Norwegian pilot as a place which should not be entered without local knowledge. And here we were, one large destroyer, the Altmark, and two Norwegian torpedo boats all messing about in this tiny fjord. We stopped off the Norwegian torpedo boats, and the Norwegian lieutenant came on board again. At first he seemed prepared to cooperate and come with us to try and board the Altmark, but later he changed his mind and went back to his ship. It was very fortunate that the Norwegian torpedo boats had moored up for the night alongside each other, which presumably prevented them from training their torpedo tubes and therefore attempting to stop the Cossack. Having left the position of the Norwegian torpedo boats, we proceeded slowly up the fjord, which was covered by about an inch of ice. Not enough to hinder us very much, but would have prevented boat work. The Altmark was observed coming at us stern first and playing some sort of a searchlight onto our bridge, apparently in an attempt to blind Vian and his navigator. Under Vian's instructions, we had organized a boarding party, which consisted mainly of the prize crew element, previously mentioned, plus a few tough Cossacks. I was the second in command of Cossack and was ordered to command the boarding party. We organized the boarding party into about five sections. One under my immediate command would make for the bridge and try and get command of the ship. There was a party for the forward part of the Altmark, another party for midships, and another party for the stern, and a party of engine room ratings to get down to the engine room, take over and prevent scuttling. I must say that luck was very much on our side. The night was calm. The Altmark had all our upper deck lighting on. Our forecastle, where the boarding party were assembled, was within inches of the same level as the poop deck of Altmark. The Germans were taken utterly by surprise. It was quite clear that they did not have the remotest idea that a British ship would be so much in breach of neutrality that she would attempt to board them. Vian brought the Cossack port bow to the starboard side of Altmark, roughly abreast the poop. As the ships scraped past at fairly low speeds, most of the boarding party managed to get across. We first attempted to lash the ships together, but the wires parted. I then led my small party to the bridge using the gangway over the after tank deck. We fully expected to be met by some sort of gunfire, but in fact, the first German we came across was just below the bridge, who, with a hopeless gesture, threw his pistol away. Breaking onto the bridge, we found the Altmark's engines at full ahead. We knocked the German officers off the telegraph and pulled them to full astern. We suspected, having been out of sight of Cossacks for a few minutes, that Altmark, with her engines at full ahead, was attempting to ram Cossack. In fact, she had gone astern up a small branch of Jotunfjord, and her engines were at full ahead, to stop her way and preventing her going on the rocks. As I said, we had moved the telegraphs to full astern. The German officers had knocked us off the telegraphs and put them to full ahead. We knocked the Germans off, it was a sort of rugger scrum, and put them to full astern again. And at that moment, there was a grinding bump, and Altmark went astern first onto the rocks.
So you were punching each other?
We're punching. We didn't use firearms on the bridge. This was all very fortunate because it had trapped the Altmark. She couldn't move. In fact, afterwards we discovered that her rudder had been smashed. And by this time, Craven had the Germans lined up and was haranguing them. I went out onto the wing of the bridge and found the captain, the Altmark, there. I thought at first he was a Norwegian pilot, but as soon as his identity was established, he was lined up with the rest of the German officers. At about this time, firing broke out aft in the ship, and several Germans jumped overboard and attempted to run away and were shot. I blew my whistle vigorously, and the firing ceased. We made a signal, I had a signalman with me, to the Cossack that we had secured the bridge. Fan told me afterwards that this was lucky, because hearing the firing, he thought we were in trouble and was about to sweep the Altmark with his multiple machine guns. By this time, we had secured complete control of the Altmark, and Craven told me that the Germans were admitting that the merchant ship prisoners were on board. So I proceeded with the captain of the Altmark and the German prison officer, and with a petty officer with a bayonet close behind them, and myself blazing my torch over the whole party, down to the forward hold hatches. These had been wired up after the trouble that the Altmark had had with the merchant ship prisoners off Bergen, and we made the Germans cast off the wires and open up the hatches. We then called down, and we were answered with much surprise by a large number of merchant ship prisoners. At roughly the same time, the second in command of the boarding party had got the after hold hatches open. And I think it was he who gave the cry, "The Navy's here." It certainly wasn't myself. We informed Vian of the state of affairs. He brought the Cossack alongside, bow to bow. Ladders and that sort of thing were rigged between the ships, and we got all the merchant ship people on board the Cossack. The Germans had informed us that two rather elderly merchant ship captains were in a cabin in the aft part of the ship. The Germans had lost the keys, so after warning the two officers, we shot the lock off. Vian was very anxious to get out because there were rumours that the Altmark had scuttling charges and had probably fired them. And Cossack blew her sirens, we made all the noise we could, and hoped that we had got all our people off. Meanwhile, we had assembled the German crew on the bow of the Altmark, and Vian had them covered with the searchlight, and we warned them that any offensive move by them would be met by gunfire. As soon as we had got all our people back on board, the Cossack backed off and left the fjord. We had a rather anxious time while we checked up on everybody to make certain that we had not left anyone on board. We only had one casualty. The warrant officer who'd been in charge of one section of the boarding party had been shot in the arm but was not seriously wounded. While we had been capturing the Altmark, a Cossack had picked up a German who had somehow got into the water, who unfortunately died of exposure the next day and was buried at sea. The total time that the boarding party was on board the Cossack was about an hour and a quarter. And the number of prisoners released was approximately 300. We picked up the rest of our party outside and made for England at high speed. The Home Fleet put to sea to come to our support, and we were very glad to see them on the horizon in the early hours of Saturday morning, because we felt we were very vulnerable to German air. We had these 300 guests on board, and they were entertained royally on the way across. We arrived at Leith at about 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and were met by quite a welcoming party.
It could have been quite a bloody business, though, presumably.
It could have been. I fully expected that we would be swept by rifle fire, if not something else, when we boarded the Altmark. But as I said, we were extremely lucky.
What do you think were the various factors in it being such a success?
First and foremost, the complete surprise. It was obvious that the Germans never thought the British would be so, inverted commas, beastly, as to board them in Norwegian waters. Secondly, as I said, the boarding party practically stepped across, the decks being very nearly level. And I think everyone behaved in the right way. We had briefed the boarding party in very broad terms because we really didn't know what we were in for. And in fact, the various sections of the boarding party did their stuff magnificently.
You were saying earlier, though, that with the benefit of hindsight, you could have done various things which you forgot to do on board the Altmark.
Yes, I think you will give us credit for the speed with which we had to plan the whole operation and the lack of knowledge of what we were going to be in. But we certainly ought to have destroyed her wireless. As soon as we had left the fjord, the Altmark started to wireless her side of the story to Germany. And secondly, we ought to have collected her papers, signal books, and that sort of thing. I mean, looking back, we should have had, a sixth section detailed to follow up the boarding party and do all this.
How exactly were the prisoners, ex-prisoners, entertained on board the Cossack?
Well, we had about 50 officers in the wardroom. And the fact that they had a very...